We're talking about genetics and cells this week and how cells work and how they assemble themselves into more complicated things that can include whole organisms or organs. And with us now is Richard Adams, who is a researcher at Cambridge University. And he effectively looks at how life turns from individual cells into complicated tissues. Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Let's start really simple. The egg. So basically, an egg gets fertilised by a sperm. It's one cell, and it turns into, over the course of 40 weeks, in a human at least, something with maybe 100 trillion cells in it, huge number, and they're all in the right place.
It's an amazing logistical problem. So how does that happen? In animal development, it's done by dividing and conquering the problem. You begin to make big decisions during development first, and then you make more and more specialised decisions. So development begins by dividing that first fertilised cell into many, many cells. And these cells, to the outside observer, look very similar to each other. There's no particular structure to the embryo.
Just a ball of cells.
Just a ball of cells. But of course, we're clearly much more complicated than that, so the embryo must transform itself. And that takes place in a remarkable morphogenetic process, which means a change in shape of this ball of cells. And the process is called gastrulation. It literally means the formation of a stomach. And what the embryo is doing is changing itself from a single population of cells into three concentric tubes of cells. The innermost tube is going to form the gut and associated organs. The intermediate layer of cells is going to form connective tissue and muscle and the structural components of the body. And the outermost layer of the tissue is going to form our skin and our central nervous system, our brain and our spinal cord.
How do those cells know who they are? So if you go from this ball of cells where one cell just divides and makes two and then two become four and so on, how do they know, right, I'm going to become that inner tube that's going to become the gut, and I'm going to become the tube around that that's my muscles, and I'm going to become the outer layer that's going to be the skin? How do the cells get addressed?
Remarkably, very early in development, through those first divisions, which might build an embryo that has maybe 10,000 cells, many of those cells don't yet know what they're going to become. But they're going to be organized and influenced by a signaling center, a small population of cells are going to send out small diffusive signaling molecules that are going to induce the cells to take on the identities of endoderm or mesoderm.
And these are these different layers in the tubes.
These are the different layers. Initially, these cells are sitting in concentric rings around the signaling center, and they must physically transform themselves into a structure that is physically a concentric series of rings. So the whole embryo must transform itself physically from one shape into a new shape, which is now an endoderm surrounded by mesoderm, surrounded by ectoderm.
So when the cells are making these decisions as to what to become under the influence of these signals coming out of other cells that say, right, you, Richard, you're going to become a gut or so on, does that irreversibly influence what genes are turned on, how the DNA is controlling those cells then?
At that point, yes, the first irreversible decisions are made. And now the repertoire of decisions that that cell is able to take is restricted. And then subsequent decisions will define which part of the gut, for instance, that cell would form and which subtype of cell its progeny would be able to produce within the gut itself.
How do the cells move around in the embryo so that the ones that should be in the middle of making this gut tube are there, and the ones that are around the outside to make the skin are in the right place as well?
The movements are very varied and interesting. Some are, just as Helen just described, involving the cytoskeleton that change the shapes of cells, and the cells are able to move on each other. But within the embryo, many cells are stuck together in tissues, and these populations of cells are able to transform themselves in much more sophisticated ways. So, for instance, they can all pull themselves in one direction, which causes the tissue to elongate in another direction. And this kind of transformation is the one that takes us from a ball of cells to an elongated embryo, which is recognisable as a developing embryo.
And when things work out, it's great because you have a perfectly proportioned, perfectly developed baby, but we know it doesn't always work out like that. There are some neurodevelopmental abnormalities. Is that when one of these occurs, things like spina bifida and so on, is that because the cells haven't migrated to the right place during development?
That's a problem that we're very interested in our lab. And we don't really know the details, but it's something to do with the communication within cells which enables them to collectively change shape. And in the case of neurulation, it's a sheet of cells that is trying to roll itself up into a cylinder. And that cylinder is the precursor of the spinal cord. And if this rolling process is incomplete, then the two edges are unable to fuse and the spine remains unfused, and that is the lesion of spina bifida.
And if we can understand through work like yours then why that goes wrong, that will potentially give us insights into how to prevent it going wrong or how to put it right when it does.
We would hope that what we can find are clues as to the underlying causes, what is physically wrong with the behaviours of cells, and that would give us clues as to how we might be able to intervene in the future.